Recreation and Parks Commission Board Meeting. Today is Thursday, March 31st, 2013. Okay, we'd like to call to order, or at least I'm just going to acknowledge those absent, which is Brian Dorfman. And now, right? Yeah. Okay, we're going to do a moment of silence. Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any announcements to make? Okay, I have one. Tomorrow night is the Dixon Spaghetti Dinner. Come on out. It's going to be a great time. It starts at 4:30. We have adult tickets, children's tickets, and senior tickets. It's a great Morro Bay tradition, and we look forward to seeing you out there. We're going to have a silent auction as well. And this is all put on by the Morro Bay Community Foundation. And that foundation is so that kids that need support for after-school programs have scholarships available. So it's a great foundation, and we like to support them every year.
Could I add a little bit to that,
yes, please,
Chair?
Yes, please do.
Good evening, Chair Corley. Spaghetti dinner tomorrow at the Morro Bay Community Center. The major beneficiary is obviously the Morro Bay Community Foundation. Big sponsors that are in to put this together are the Senior Citizens Incorporated. They've got a host of volunteers that will be coming out, as well as the Recreation Park staff. So it's the city program and the foundation, as well as the senior citizens, all three come together. And there is a host of sponsors and donations that have been received for the success of this program. So come on out and support the foundation, support recreation opportunities here on the Estero Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, can I make the motion to move D3 to the top of the agenda before public hearing, or do I need to do that after?
Yeah, you don't want to take public comment first.
Okay,
and then that would be your first agenda item.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to our public comment period. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to come up? Please do so now.
Good evening. My name is Bonnie Johnson. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm here to speak in regards to the bike park. I have taken on a project of trying to put a bike park back in Morro Bay, done a lot of research. I believe you guys have my plan before you tonight to review the big goal. I do have a lot of information, a lot of research that I've done in a lot of different rules and regulations, different properties, designs, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to let you know that I am here tonight. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to get up and answer any of those questions. Really, the main thing that I want to say is that there was a bike park here in Morro Bay in 2000 through 2003. It was always occupied. It was always used. It never caused any problems that I've ever been reported. It would be great for all those kids and kids of all ages in this community to have something to do when team sports are not being played or kids who just are not into team sports. It's a great activity to get our kids involved in the community and out doing something. So I would just please ask that you guys support this idea and help us move this project along. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Chris Christensen, resident and one of the original founders of Morro Bay Fourth, and I'm here to support a request for the Parks and Recs in the city to waive the fees that we've been assessed each year for the city services to put on the 4th of July event. We were actually in shock the first year when we got that first bill, and every year since then we've tried to figure out a way to approach the city and get them to consider waiving those fees. It's a whole lot of $20 donations from little old ladies in their water bills to raise $4,000, which has been our average bill each year. And so it's my contention that we actually bring a lot of revenue into the city with the event on 4th of July. The Chamber of Commerce elected several years ago to not do the 4th of July. In response to that, the city business individuals and myself in this community decided that we couldn't do without the 4th of July event. And so we formed a nonprofit, which we run now. And we've been doing that successfully for the last 4 or 5 years. But we have to raise about $35,000 to $40,000 every year to do it. It takes a lot of money to put on the fireworks show. And so we would really appreciate your consideration in waiving those fees and letting the city absorb some of that and help us to continue to put on a fireworks show. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to? Okay.
Good evening, Madam Chairwoman and Commissioners. My name is Susan Stewart. I'm a 25-year resident of Morro Bay, business owner on Morro Bay Boulevard, and this year president of the Chamber of Commerce. And I'm speaking in support of the city supporting the 4th of July event. Hope that you can pass on a recommendation to City Council to approve that. I remember coming to the 4th of July celebrations when they were at the high school. I know there's a long history of fireworks in Morro Bay, and they've gone here and there. And it's a challenging event to put on, partly because now the location with the waterfront, there's lots of issues and things that have to be done because it's in a coastal zone. But it is an event that doesn't charge any admission. It's a community event. It's a national event. And I hope that as a city we can support this. I would also, haven't read all the proposals for the BMX bike park, but boy, if we can find a place for it, the kids in this town really need something like that, somewhere safe and fun to do. Anything we can do in this town to increase those kinds of activities are great. I think it was a real loss when the roller rink got closed down. Boy, I'd love to see something like that come back into town. So those are my two issues tonight. Thank
you. Okay, thank you for being here. And just so you know, we do have a public hearing on the 4th of July. Comes later on the agenda.
I have to go to a chamber mixer is why I spoke early.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Commissioner members. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident and business owner here in the city of Morro Bay, and I'm before you to speak about the issue of supporting the Morro Bay 4th. I strongly urge that you recommend to the City Council that the city waives the fees and co-sponsors this event. And I urge that decision because the 4th of July is a unique event in town, really unlike any other. Some of the things that make it unique is that there are absolutely no charges, no fees for anyone to participate in this event. And it is open to everyone. It is not a special interest group, something like photographers or bird watchers. If you think about it, those are all narrower groups. Sure, they bring people to town, but you've got to be in that niche in order to participate. And many of those events charge fees. This event, unlike those at all. If you're in the United States, if you're in this city on 4th of July, you are part of the celebration. Secondly, something else that makes this very unique is that we don't really have a choice in whether to have this event or not. A car show, a flower show, we can decide to do that or not. Not every other community in the United States is having those events on the same day. The fact of the matter is, if we don't have this event on 4th of July, those people and those dollars will go to other surrounding communities. So we've got a group of hardworking volunteers in this city that put this event on every year with sweat equity. They go out and they collect dollars, and we don't want to reward them as a city by then giving them a bill for $4,000 to provide city services. So please take those facts into consideration. Let's do what's right for the community. Let's support this event. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else from the BMX track that would like to come up before we discuss this on our agenda? Now is the time.
Hello. My name is Isaiah Van Zee, and this is my son Hayden. And we're citizens of Morro Bay City. And we're in support of the city bike park going in. It would be nice to have something for my children to go to that's a safe place that they can learn how to ride bikes away from streets and other dangers of the city.
And go off jumps.
I grew up in Los Osos, Morro Bay community area for about 15 years. And it seems like the local bike area was always, you know, somebody's empty lot or dirt field that we had to go to when we were making jumps. And it was super fun, but it would be nice to have, like, an organized area for myself and my kids to go to. So I'm definitely in support of that. It would be a really great idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? I know you guys just walked in, but we're taking comments right now. If you want to talk about the BMX track, now is the time.
Hi, my name is Ben Furby. I live in Los Osos, 23 years old, and I'm a professional mountain biker. So I've had lots of time to travel around the country and see different types of bike parks, skate parks, and it'd be really, really cool to have something official that, you know, kids don't have to be afraid of their jumps or anything getting, you know, mowed down, and also in a safe atmosphere where new helmets are required and all that sort of stuff. I've seen a lot of these places work in different communities all around the country, and it'd just be really, really cool to see kids have a place to go that's an official, sort of established, you know, city deal. So,
thank you. Hey, anybody else? Okay, I'm going to close the public comment period then. And now I just need a motion to move this item, which is D3, up to the top of our agenda.
Okay, I make the motion that we move D3 to the top of the agenda today.
Can I get a second?
I'll make a second on that.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None. All right. And I think we're all anxious to talk about this. We love the idea. Mr. Woods, would you like to begin? Or
certainly. Thank you, Chair Crowley and commissioners and all those who came out in support of the bike park. We have this item in front of you today. It was basically the resolution that was passed by the City Council at their last City Council meeting. That's in your packet. It's Resolution 2013. The background on this, you've heard a little bit about it this evening. There was a bike BMX bike track that we operated at 220 Atascadero Road. It was a privately owned parcel that the city went in and did a partnership agreement with the owner. And through the course of that partnership, the property became for sale, and the city was able to purchase the property. Our intent at that time was to establish a teen center at the old skate park, which is called Flippo, Skate Harbor, which is Flippo's roller skating rink. And so we sat on that property for a little bit, developing some plans for the teen center. The cost of that was really decided to be prohibited, and so we abandoned the development plans and ended up, consequently, across the street at the miniature golf facility that was up for auction. So back to 220. So as we sold that property, the new owner entered into another agreement with us to allow the BMX track to continue. So that was a limited amount of time, and then he changed the function of that particular site, and now you'll see, if you go down to that site, it's right on the corner of Park Street and Atascadero Road. It is a RV and then bridge over, and then it becomes a Class 3 up into the bike path by the high school. So that's a little bit of a background about some of the bike paths. I want you to consider that as you're thinking about the bike park itself. This came through as public comment with City Council, and they immediately supported the bike park project. And it really didn't have a whole lot of form when it was presented, other than there was a lot of legwork done by interested parties. They gathered signatures of interested people in the community. Ms. Johnson reached out for possible grant funding, design support. So there's a lot of legwork and research that's been in place. We made accessible all of our files on the bike path, on the bike park previously, and she's been able to review those and use those as a resource in some of her findings that you have in her letter that's in front of you. So in a nutshell, the resolution 2013 is in support of developing a bike park in the city of Morro Bay. A public bike park in the city of Morro Bay. So that's how we left it. Now, and it stands to reason that one would think that we would go on to public property that we exist, that we own right now. And the some of the suggestions that are brought in front of you from Ms. Johnson would be the Main Street and Radcliffe area. Anybody familiar with that area? It's a very large dirt area. A small portion of that larger piece is a property the city owns. There is property on both sides that we do not own. But that I believe that there are partnerships out there waiting for us. It might be ideal, it may not be, but it's always worth investigating. The other second site that she cited here would be the Cloisters. The Cloisters is an assessment district now. We have about 34 acres of park and open space. The parcel, I believe, that's being targeted on this particular site would be the easterly border of the property. As you come in to the assessment district off of Coral, on the left-hand side, east side, there is a drainage ditch off that's adjacent to the highway. And there's basically a barren dirt lot, if you will, undeveloped, and basically it's a catch for a lot of stormwater runoff, and then it's channeled through to our wetlands, and then designed for overflow to go out the westerly portion of that. So that area has been targeted before for a dog park. That site was not desirable to continue with the plans for the dog park. So. Obviously, you know, the dog park is now located at Del Mar Park. So that particular site certainly would be one for consideration that you might want to think about, talk about this evening. And then the third section, a third particular location that she's presented is 231 Atascadero Road, which is the teen center. And you realize that we have done some master planning just recently on that site. That site has been master planned for above ground module skate park, which we have now in front, and then also an in ground permanent skate park adjacent to that. There is a basketball amphicourt court, which is a sunken basketball court, could be used for multi sports as well as concerts and special events. There is some open areas for some free play, and there's also a design for a classroom for seminars, workshops, and the like. So it's pretty well master planned, but it is certainly within our purview to make a recommendation that the master plan be revisited and revised to include this or not. So I want to make sure you had all the options that there's public land out there. A lot of it's been investigated by staff as well as by Ms. Johnson. She's come up with three. There may be others that master plans need to be revised. Partnerships need to be talked about and possibly gotten into. There might be some land donation by either another public entity or even a private entity. And I think those are options that you might want to flesh out in your discussion this evening. Keeping in mind that if we are to go forward with a park, a bike park, that would be considered development, and there would be some hurdles to go over as we get into development. And I'll be remiss if I didn't tell you about the sequence of the process that we're looking forward to getting into. I don't think it should be something that would make us hesitate. It would be something that we just need to have knowledge of and be ready to embrace. It is be bringing forward, which would be a memorandum of understanding that would include the partnership is an MOU for the design and the permitting process. So in order to get into an MOU for design and permitting process, and this is very similar to what we had with the dog park at Del Mar, we entered into an agreement. We had a site, and we had a legitimate partner to go into an agreement with. Right now, and you may want to ask Ms. Johnson, since she's here, about the partnership. It is difficult for us to get into a partnership with single citizens of the community. We'd be looking more for an organized group that's either a standalone 501c3 or they have affiliations with. And the Morro Bay Pups, as you recall, we went into an agreement and they were tied with the Slow Post group that handled their funding, and we were able to enter into agreement with them. So something that would be similar in this situation is what we'd be looking for. We'd also be asking the commission to consider putting a commissioner or having one volunteer to be a lead on this particular project so they can go out and meet with the group, meet with staff outside of commission, and bring back results to the commission and or council. Depends on our direction. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Back to the chair, please.
Thank you, Joe. All right, let's give this group of people our help. And so our job is to really discuss the interest and come up with some recommendations along with in our review process before it goes to City Council. So first, let's start off with addressing the interest. Does anybody have any overall comments they'd like to make about the project?
I'd like to know how much space this takes up.
I could probably answer that. It could take up as much space as you can give them.
Right.
Is that about right?
Right.
The one that we saw that we've operated before, I'm going to venture to say it was probably a quarter of an acre. It wasn't a huge park, but it was significant enough. It was, if that, maybe it wasn't even a quarter of an acre. Was it close? Yeah. Okay. So I ballparked that pretty good. So I mean, and that was a double loop. It was kind of a two loops sequentially. So it was one track, and there was on-site parking at that particular area. So it was kind of, there was a double lot. So we were able to utilize some of the parking as well. So it could certainly get larger than that. Smaller than a quarter acre would probably be very limiting to the type of activity that this is. So I would think at a minimum you'd be looking for be somewhere around a quarter of an acre.
I have a question relative to the park. Once a park facility becomes available, what are we looking at in terms of cost, renovation, landscaping, paving, if needed? Does anyone have an idea as to what that would entail?
You know, that's a good question, Commissioner Romero. The cost is really a variable in which we're not really ready to give you a concrete answer on. And it is going to depend on the site that is chosen and the type of partnership or agreement that we enter into. The first one obviously being design and permitting, and there are some costs associated with that. And we're in our agreement, that's why we have an agreement, that we would ask the group that's coming forward that we enter an agreement with to assist us with the costs for the design and engineering of a particular site. The permitting costs generally we absorb as a no-fee staff permitting. So that's kind of it's a joint effort when we get into that process. So the second part of your question is how much does it cost to construct and operate? And that's a separate agreement that we would want to get into. Once we know the design and the location and now it's been permitted, how are we going to maintain this? And right now, we've been very successful with the one, I keep going back to the dog park because this is following suit with that same process, is that we have an operating and maintenance agreement with the Morro Bay Pups. And out there, the cost is very minimal. The impact is not much more than we would have if we have to maintain that area as an open park. So obviously, if there's fence breaking, if there's some turf renovation, the group takes care of it, and that's part of our agreement. So we were hoping to enter into an agreement with our partners, and if it's the Morro Bay Bike Club or whatever this partner evolves into being, that our agreement would say there's some responsibilities for them to step forward. And they've expressed some very...
With an organization, is that correct?
That is correct. And our agreement, if we got into... If it was an individual, we would be looking more, as you see in your packet, more of a larger type of a sponsorship, that a person, if it was one person coming forth with a sizable amount of money, resources, that would allow us to develop and maintain a park, then we would probably have an agreement with them. And you'll see as we talk about sponsorship agreements that it could happen. It would just be a different relationship. Please.
Can I ask Ms. Johnson a question? Or
I think the chair's opened that up.
Sure. Ms. Johnson, would you like to come to the podium, please?
Have you formed a committee or a group or created a nonprofit organization to promote this idea?
I'm working on building a group of volunteers to perform different needs within the group, based on what you guys decide. So I've put the word out there, you know, for any volunteers that are willing to help, but it's kind of hard to get that going when we don't have any concrete plans. So I've got a lot of people showing interest in helping with varying degrees, tons of support for people coming out and building and designing and maintaining the park. The second part of your question, for the nonprofit, thank you. I have been in touch with Slow Kappa, which is the same group that Morro Bay Pups is affiliated with, and we've been in conversation with them regarding the nonprofit status and what it would take for us to get in with them. I also met in early February with one of the Central Coast Regional Director of IMBA, which is International Mountain Biking Association, and they are... an organization that basically helps people build bike parks, bike events, that kind of a thing. The CCCMB, which is Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers Group, they are a chapter of IMBA, and so I'm in conversation with them as well as Patrick Kell from IMBA about becoming a chapter of IMBA for the funding, so that all of the funding would go through either the nonprofit status or the IMBA chapter. That way, it's a tax deductible donation that anybody wants to give for the bike park. I've had lots of people giving verbal, not confirmations, but basically interest in supporting it monetarily, physically, all of that. So definitely, the need is welcomed. I'm working on fundraising ideas to help with the funding for the design, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, Bonnie, do you have a location that's preferable to you? There's three listed here, but do you have a preference?
At this point, our preference is somewhat the Radcliffe and Main location, because it's the most visible. that way, you know, people, moms wanting to check on their kids, you know, it's easily accessible for the police department to drive by and make sure that there's nothing going on. It's very open for the public to either get drawn to it or to just, you know, visually see what's going on there. Mm-hmm. I did contact Motel 6 over the weekend. They have a 1.5-acre parcel in between what was Flippo's, Morro Strand RV Park, and Motel 6, mm-hmm. kind of wraps around to Lila Kaiser Park. I have not heard a response back from them as to whether they would be willing to let us access that land for the park. That would be a desirable location because there's parking and bathrooms there. But at this point, I guess our pursuit is Radcliffe and Main.
Okay, and then I think Joe and I discussed an alternative to a full-on BMX park, which would be what they call a pocket mm-hmm. park, and that would be like a series of jumps adjacent to the bike path that's already there. What do you think about that?
I've posed that question to a lot of the people not to jump around, but I believe I, Joe had shared that on Facebook. I started a page where I just kind of put out all the information, as you know. And a lot of the responses from a lot of different people that is a great idea, although I think a lot of moms want to have a destination for their kids to go to instead of just randomly along the bike park. To have it as a destination point for people to come to Morro Bay to bike. As Ben said, that he's traveled all around the world, or country, seeing all kinds of different bike parks, is more of a destination point. So as much as I love that aspect of elaborating on the bike path to do little pocket jumps here and there, I think
that little strip of land in between, I think PG&E owns the majority of it, and then the city owns the middle section. And so it's like, where would we put parking? That's the only issue I would see. So I would just recommend that parking somehow be included in that location somehow. Any other thoughts? Oh, okay, go ahead.
PG&E owns to the north and south of that Main Street property. There is a small section at the very end that is privately owned, and I've been in conversation with those folks to ask permission for parking only. Their concern, obviously, is liability. But I told them, you know, we would just be in conversation about it so that it is an option. Not at this point, but I'm in conversation with them about that. I did talk to PG&E. They are not in agreeance with letting us park there. But as Joe said, that location is a half acre. The old bike park was a quarter of an acre. As much as I would love to have as much acreage as possible, I would have the plans drawn up with parking available. I've been talking to the planning commission or planning department about how many parking spaces they would require there, or if there's parking on the street, if that is an option. And I haven't received like confirmation on street parking or how many parking spaces would be required.
Okay, thank you. Any thoughts? Drew, any thoughts?
Well, my only thought is that the land's kind of flat. I used to race dirt bikes. The best tracks were in the mountains. If you could find a piece of land that has some contour to it, because what you're looking to build is sort of like a temporary motocross track. And you won't have much in the way of any elevation changes, which is what I thought mountain bikers like zooming down mountains and stuff. Have you thought about putting an ad in the paper to ask if anybody's interested in letting you use some farmland or some other piece of land that's got more contour?
Thought about that, but until we came to this meeting and kind of, you know, hashed out some of this stuff, I can't put the cart before the horse and start asking people for land. That definitely is an option. The city has a lot of land or a lot of dirt that they continually move from projects and you know, I've been told by many people that they will donate their tractors and their time to like move dirt around and make those jumps. City of Aptos, which was kind of my inspiration for this idea, they have their bike park is about 200 by 400 feet. They've got jumps that are, I don't know, 5-6 feet tall, but they just basically have constructed them with the dirt that's there and people bringing in dirt. And so that was basically our idea for that. Any farmland I've looked at is kind of not conducive to kids riding their bikes to the park and having fun. So I'm just, at this point, I'm trying to keep it in town so that kids can go over there after school and not have to have their moms or dads cart them over there. So I'm trying to keep it in town, but I'm definitely, I've started looking at the Tri-W property on the other side of the highway because they've got lots of acreage out there. To see if they would be willing to let us put it out there. It's just not very easily accessible, especially for people getting there on their bikes.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other recommendations about location, or would you like to move on to design?
Joe, is it something that we could also move into the Coleman Park marina plan?
Good evening, Commissioner Bates. It certainly is something that you can consider in some of the parks that you're looking to master plan. The Northern Embarcadero Improvement or Implementation Plan is going to include Coleman Park. It's also going to include Target Rock area as well as the Rock parking lot. And you'll know that I think it was a year and a half, maybe a little bit more, about a year and a half, that we looked at some designs that were brought forth by the Woody a couple. That was designed for master planning the Rock Morrill Rock parking lot. That design didn't go anywhere, but that area was folded into the master planning process. And where that stands now is that we're directed to continue with the master planning process as the funds from Park and Lou become available. And we are currently waiting on at least two, if not three, subdivisions that are slated to have Quimbiac fees assessed as opposed to land dedication. So to answer your question, yes, it certainly could be included in those master planning processes, as well as the park that she's the land that she's talking about earlier was the Motel 6 that's addressed at that particular site, and then something that would be adjacent to an existing park or included into that. So as far as master planning, the only other area that we have slotted for a possible park development would be North Main Street, which is some property that Chevron owns. Right now I haven't heard of any major movements for that property to come up, but it is part of our master plan that if that property was to become available, that we would be showing some interest in the city's use. Because right now we have about 10 acres of Delmar Park, and this is another, I think it's another 10 acres that's between Delmar Park and Main Street. There is a creek there now, and so there might be, if we were to get a portion of that land or sizable portion, that would be something that we could consider as well. Those latter two are basically a ways away. And as we said earlier in the report, that we're looking to keep the process going, keeping the momentum going, and using existing city-owned property is probably the best way to keep this particular project in the forefront and moving forward. Now, obviously, if your recommendation is you really want a different site and there's going to be some more legwork, that obviously is going to entail a different part of the process at the beginning.
Can I answer your question?
That help you out?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
And the teen center would require eliminating something else to put this in. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Whether it's sizing down the existing skate park design or eliminating a certain element within the master plan now, either the classroom, the basketball court, something of that nature. The only thing there now on site is the existing teen center building, and that's the only thing that's slated to continue as the master plan is developed.
Okay, let's move on to design. Any recommendations for design? I have one. It's coming forth. Is that right?
Well, the design, it sounds great. We can get into that here. We're looking to do some kind of a movement forward. So
right, but that includes our recommendations.
Your recommendations, if you want to recommend a different type of park as opposed to a detailed design, if you're looking for a certain type of park which would help us with site location, certainly would want to continue.
Okay, so no details about design right now. But I just have to put this out there. My 9.5-year-old made a special request. And it's a good point that you segregate, or not segregate, but you label with signs the different age groups, because the big kids will hog the BMX park if you don't delineate that, you know, or at least maybe monitor different times of day or anyways. I'm sure you've taken that into consideration, but thanks for allowing me to say that.
I think that goes along with the size of the location that we're looking for. If we're looking for a size of a parcel that's going to be able to accommodate two different age groups, and so that's certainly part of your selection as far as site.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in my opinion, the most logical site would be by Lila Kaiser Park, because there is parking, there is a restroom, it's flat, it's got good access. So I would suggest that we see about you know, the ownership and see if the owners want to get into some sort of partnership on a park.
Yeah, the Motel 6 hasn't gotten back to them yet. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems the way it's going to get done the quickest.
Yeah.
Is that location? As far as yeah.
Because then all you need is some dirt, some shovels, and if they're going to put up a fence would be very easy to build there.
Could you do the project in phases, or do you, you know, does it have to be all out with restrooms and parking, or can you just begin it so that at least people can start using the park?
I would say that it's going to depend on the permitting process, and then if we're required to put into this development. So the development comes back and says you're able to use so many parking spaces at Lila Kaiser because it's adjacent to it, and you don't need to add any more, then it's going to go a little quicker. You're going to want to do everything at once because I don't think there's a whole lot of moving parts to a bike park. You have utilities there on Tuscarora Road, so you have water access. That's the biggest part of a bike park is the water, to keep the dust down and to keep the particular forms and shapes in place, and then the parking. And obviously, our previous one, we were fenced in. I think you'd want to have a fence to delineate and the particular site and also provide safety for the participants.
Like, judging from the audience, there's not going to be much of a problem with support, you know.
You should see their Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay, well, is there anybody that is not in support on this board of this? So then we just need a motion to make a recommendation to support it. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I think that the motion to support it is there. The direction to support it is there through resolution from council. We're to help support this particular project and how it gets developed. So if you make a recommendation for staff to pursue a particular site or two, continue working with the community group as they develop their partnerships with the nonprofit group and a particular commissioner, that would be a pretty strong direction, saying that we want, you know, one commissioner to come through, work with staff, and have staff work with the Morro Bay Bike group to lock in the site. And you've got a couple sites that you're recommending us to look into. That would give us a couple steps to go jump to.
Okay. So can I get a motion to pursue? This is going to be a long motion. To pursue those two locations, the Main Street and Radcliffe Drive and the Lila Kaiser Park, along with continued relationship and working with this group of citizens, along with our appointee on the board, which was myself. I volunteered to be the liaison for that. And that's it, right? Those three things. So can I?
After you get a second, maybe with a minor amendment to actually call out that empty lot, not Lila Kaiser, but actually the empty lot owned by Motel 6.
Okay.
I'll second that motion. Are you going to add to it?
No, we gotta. I can't make the motion, so somebody else has to make the motion.
I'll make the motion.
To. Do you remember all that?
To pursue looking at the land.
The Lila Kaiser.
Owned by Motel 6 by Lila Kaiser.
And the Radcliffe.
And the property over on Main and Radcliffe.
Along with continuing working with the citizens.
Along with continuing working with the citizens.
And the liaison on the board.
And the what?
Liaison of the board.
The liaison of the board to try to get a nonprofit involved in this so we can make it happen.
Okay. Can I get a second? All right, great. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None. All right. Thank you so much for coming out. It's a great idea. Good luck. Pardon me? Okay. Where's my agenda now? Okay, so now we're going to move on to the consent calendar. We'll make a motion for file. Right?
One through four, unless you pull anything.
I'd like to make a motion to accept A1 through 4 for file.
Can I get a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None?
None.
Okay, now we're going to go to our next big item tonight, which is our public hearing on the co-sponsorship of Morro Bay 4th of July program. Mr. Woods, would you like to present?
Good evening once again, Chair Crowley and Commission. The item in front of you is a consideration of co-sponsorship for the 4th of July celebration 2013. This item was brought to you by application of the Morro Bay 4th Incorporated. In your packet, you have that request for consideration of a city co-sponsorship. This is an application process that was approved and instilled by City Council in 2009, and I've included those staff reports and minutes for your review. They are basically sets up a review that the application will be sent to the Recreation Parks Department and then forwarded to the Recreation Parks Commission for review. After it is reviewed by the commission, it would come back to staff. Being a first-time applicant, it would then be forwarded to City Council for their approval. Previous co-sponsorships have been gone to council and been approved, and as they come up for a renewal, they come in front of you, and if nothing's changed, nothing's out of the ordinary, there's nothing huge has been added or deleted, and there is some traffic control that's required down at the west end of Coleman Drive, and then the bike parade starts. There's no road closures on this particular parade. It's a slow moving parade because there's about 500 people that are bike riders that participate, and it goes all the way down to Tylands Park. It's quite a parade, and it's kind of a rolling parade that allows traffic to kind of just stop and watch, and we don't close down and barricade street closures. The other event that goes along with this is a skateboard contest that happens, and I believe that we would be permitting that separately. No, is it included as well? Okay. So there is some street closures with that. It starts at a point somewhere around the power plant parking lot around in there, and then it goes up into Coleman Drive and then back down. It's a mile run, and It's a big contest to see if we can break the world's record on a mile on a skateboard speed time trial. So it's a temporary closure. It closes about 15 minutes of access to the Embarcadero and Coleman, just in that small section. And there are monitors and street barricades at all entrances and exits along the way. And then after that, I think they all do skateboard back down to the park. Is that right? Yeah. So it's another one of the rolling kind of a skateboards all just kind of as a group head down to Tylands Park. So the parading end of this has been very successful. I would say that the applicant have done quite a bit of work up to this point since they've taken it over as the fourth of July. Incorporated, and they've changed some of the times, so it certainly benefits people who in the Estero Bay want to go to a very popular activity, which is the 4th of July parade at Cayucas. That is earlier in the morning, but as that finishes up, a lot of folks that are in that parade or attending that parade come over to Morro Bay. And specifically for the bike parade that we have. And then for the family adventure
excitement and entertainment that we have at Tylands Park. So you have a very family-oriented event. As spoken earlier in public comment, there is no charge or admission for this event. It is open to everybody. And there are some impacts that the city has incurred and has for many years, and also many other special events. And you heard about the city support services. And I'm getting those in a moment. The three criteria for co-sponsorship you probably are very interested in, and I included in your packet, I thought I included in the last page, which was you'll see that is the event an off-season event? Is it November 1st through April the 30th? Second, is the event a multiple-day event or a one-day with financial return to the city? And the third criteria being, is the requesting party a nonprofit organization? So I believe that you do have you're looking at two of the three, it could be very easily stated that there is significant economic, indirect economic impact from the influx of the number of people coming to town for this one-day event. Depending on the day of the event, the 4th of July obviously is the 4th of July, but the day of the week is of concern. If the day of the week is a Friday, then the event would, then the town would probably, I'm speculating, that we would be looking at multiple stays from visitors. If it is on a Wednesday, probably less likely for a multiple day stay, more likely when the weekend's involved and there's it's a Sunday or it's a Monday. So if it's on a Wednesday, certain people love that, such as our police chief and the police individuals, because it tends to be a more an event with a lot more parameters. As we get next to the weekends and additional days off, the event becomes a little bit more looser and a little less defined. It's just the 4th. There are some folks who want to celebrate the day before, some get the day after. So you're getting the gist as far as the multiple day. That's a criteria, and you do have financial impact if it's just a one day with the multiple visitors. This is not an off-season event. And the reason, one of the big catalysts behind COSA, one is the permit and use fee. And I talked about the $48 for the permit and $99 for the use fee. And that $99 for the use fee, it would be for all of Tylands Park, but also for the Rock parking lot. And that's per day. The fees that we had taught that you heard earlier, the $4,000, where did that come from? That comes from city support services. And staff has included in your packet, and I think it's about the fifth page back, is an outline and detail of the invoice that was sent to the group last year for the Morro Bay 4th Incorporated. It's dated July the 30th for reference. And it outlines the type of city support services that were provided on July the 12th. What was our date? It was July 12th. This was on the 4th. I'm sorry. And that came up to $3,916.55. These are all staff costs. There is no equipment cost. Council has in years past, and I didn't include that for reference, but we do not charge for vehicles or equipment that the city already owns. You don't see any cost for barricades or delineators and those types of things. What you're seeing here is strictly the labor that is brought forth to support the activities so that these activities are provided for the community in a safe manner, that visitors that are participating are able to do so safely and without negative impact, such as traffic collisions and so forth. So there's always a potential for things to go on, and we have conditions through our public air use permit that we review. And each city department reviews that with our special events team, and we look at the type of activities, the locations, and the impacts, and how we can support that to carry out our mission as city employees. So you'll see that there are some impacts here. those departments. We list them in detail so the applicant knows what they're getting. We do provide an estimate of costs prior to the event with their conditions and their permit. And those are strictly estimates. And as the event unfolds, there are actual costs. And that's why we've dated this July the 12th. It was post-event city support services. So I urge you to keep in mind that there are two types of fees. So if your recommendation is to co-sponsor, or not, and if so, how do we co-sponsor? Would we be co-sponsoring with a full support of city permits, fees, and support services, or are you looking at some modification of that? That is, we support the permitting and the use fees, but the applicant still would want to pay the we need to pay the city support services, or all of it. Sometimes, and our other co-sponsors, just for a quick reference, I had left those in there. The Dahlia Days comes in. They do are supported partially, and what they do pay for are direct costs for facility use. So there still is a utility and maintenance cost associated with that co-sponsorship. Just to give you, there's a lot of different options, and you certainly would be in your purview to make any recommendations that we could forward on to City Council. Thank you.
Joe, is there a cost associated with getting an insurance rider and putting them on the city's insurance?
There would be an additional cost. If you're taking questions.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm taking questions.
I wouldn't want to step out of turn, Chair Crowley.
I'm looking at the invoice, and I just see a bunch of looks like police and Harbor Patrol stuff. I don't see any utilities or anything for.
You're right. On a public area use permit, I'll try to answer both questions. The insurance question is the applicant provides their own insurance.
Okay.
There's a special. Addition to their insurance that deals with the pyrotechnics aspect. So we did not include their insurance, but the insurance requirement is definitely something that is that we hold fast to and require that the endorsement comes in, names the city and Morbay additionally insured. And there's where you find that there is additional risk compared to other types of events that the pyrotechnics of bringing those into town, storage, loading them, and then discharging them off of a barge. There's all types of things that are associated with that. And we have a whole other section of conditions that's tied to their permit regarding pyrotechnics. Right. So right now we do not carry the insurance, and that may be
manage the fees.
As an advisory board, you can make any kind of recommendation you'd like the city council to consider in their decisions. They are the only body that can waive the fees. They set the fees at the beginning of the fiscal year, and they're the only ones who can waive the fees. They are the ones who are going to be approving a co-sponsorship per this application, and hopefully they will take in consideration your recommendations, whether it's a full waiver of all fees or it's something of a combination. And right now they've addressed fees, but they really haven't deciphered if it's all fees or not. And I would be remiss to say that after your discussion that you'd want to open this for public comment since the public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. I was going to do that right about now, actually. Can we get started with our public comment period, please?
Good evening. My name is Dan Podesto. I'm a Morro Bay resident and business owner and president of Morro Bay 4th. With the request for co-sponsorship, specifically what Morro Bay 4th is looking for is for a recommendation from this board to the city council to waive the city services fees altogether. Also looking to waive the more minor fees, the permit and use fees. And then if possible, I'm not sure if this is even possible or not, with respect to insurance, We do carry a liability insurance for the event as well as for our directors and officers of our corporation. So I'm not sure if there's any way to fit the insurance requirement under a city umbrella to help alleviate some costs there as well. Altogether, these costs would eliminate about $5,500 or so from our budget, which is a significant portion of our budget. As far as the city services that are provided go, we appreciate them. We appreciate the accommodations that the city's offered us these past 3 years, whether it's use of electricity or things of that nature. The things that we do pay for, we understand that they're necessary for the safety of the event. There really aren't any alternatives. You know, we need police assistance with the parade route, keeping the route safe for the participants of the various parades. There's a large population of people. We need additional police to make sure that there's a safe environment in the city. Due to the nature of the event being a fireworks show, we need fire inspections, and we need harbor because the whole show is done from the bay off a barge. So we need all these services, and there really aren't any other alternatives for these services. Mr. Wood stated, the three requirements for co-sponsorship are that we're a nonprofit, which we are. We're a 501c3. That the event is multi-day. While our event is only one day, it's the 4th of July, it does traditionally draw people in for long weekends or full weeks to our city. It's the nature of the holiday. And let's see here. The event must be off-season. We can't really do anything about the date, so that's the one hurdle that we cannot overcome. In some conversations with Joe, he mentioned that there are other criteria that could and would be considered for co-sponsorship. Most importantly, the amount of community and economic benefit that the event provides the city of Morro Bay. Other than Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, I can't think of any other holiday that brings people together like the 4th of July. These other holidays are primarily about enjoying time with family. The 4th of July typically brings family, friends, neighbors, and strangers together to celebrate something we all have in common, which is the love of our country, all while providing maximum community benefit. I also believe the 4th of July holiday weekend provides maximum economic benefit for the city of Morro Bay. Hotel occupancy is near 100%. Retailers and restaurants are full, and the town is generally packed with people. I do not know of a busier weekend in Morro Bay other than the 4th of July. In my annual special event team meeting, Brian Millard has, in the past 3 years, represented the police, and in justifying the need for the amount of police presence that we do have, he repeatedly describes the 4th of July as bringing in a swelled population above and beyond any other busy summer weekend. The 4th of July event is also different from most other events in Morro Bay. We are run by an all-volunteer committee with no paid staff. Really, our only goal is to do a community service and provide both a community and economic benefit to the city. The event is alcohol-free. Our event has no sources of revenue other than donations and fundraisers. And, you know, with all this information, I'm hoping to demonstrate that we have a maximum need that's justified by our maximum community and maximum economic benefits. And also one more thing of note is that I was just advised today that the tourism board, the TBID, did award us a generous donation or sponsorship to our event this year. They've done it now 4 years in a row, so that helps justify the economic benefit that this event does bring to our city. And one more thing, I'm not sure if I mentioned it at the beginning, is that we're looking for this these waivers of fees to be an annual thing, not a one-time thing. So that's it.
Okay, thank you very much. You guys do some amazing work, really. Thank you for that. Okay, I'm getting tired. My question for you would be, you know, It just seems to me it's kind of atypical for city not to support or sponsor, fireworks events. So do you have any information? Are there other cities? Is this out of the norm not to be providing that sponsorship? Because it just would seem to me that Pismo's city, they sponsor. Do you have that information?
I don't have anything concrete to present to you, but it's my understanding that Pismo we compete with them for this event to draw the tourism dollar, and their city does not only not charge them for city services fees, they also contribute financially to help put on the event. And I believe that to be the case with other beach communities that put on these types of events.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Also, I'd like to make a comment about the off-season requirement. Granted, this event takes place in the summertime. There is no other event in the summertime that draws this amount of people with this amount of revenue. So I would just suggest that, I can see staff's argument, well, where do you draw the line if you're going to make this amendment to this organization? I would suggest or respond by saying, let's look at the revenue that's brought in, and the overall profit is huge. So maybe there's some kind of percentage that can come up with, staff can come up with, to draw that line that needs to be drawn. That's one idea, but I definitely think that needs to be considered as something significant, is the amount of revenue that's brought in. And the multi-day, that's obvious. Everybody comes to 4th of July and spends more than one day. That's obvious. Everybody comes here to spend at least one night or two for this event. Any other thoughts or concerns or questions?
Well, I mean, it's no doubt it's a wonderful event for the community. It's just, where exactly is the money coming from? And is there any other entities that should contribute their fair share, is what I'm thinking. But if they did get some T-bid money, that's good. How can you knock the 4th of July? I mean, this is America. It's part of our heritage to have some sort of celebration, for our Independence Day. So, as long as it's not lasers, I'm all for it.
Yes, of course. Come on up.
It's a great point about the revenue. We, too, believe that all those who economically benefit should participate financially in helping put on this event. As I mentioned, the tourism board, which represents all the hotels and vacation rentals, they've given us a very large contribution. We also receive and solicit donations and sponsorships from restaurants, retailers, and the residents of Morro Bay. We solicit the residents through the water bill. We have a flyer that goes out in the water bill, and the residents year after year generously donate money. Those $20, $50, $100 checks add up to a big amount of money. There's also a couple of restaurants in particular that have partnered with us to put on large fundraiser events. Mm-hmm. So those are really the folks that we see as the economic beneficiaries, and we do our best to make sure that they're all financially participating as well. The city does draw in a lot of tax revenue, and we do recognize that there have been a lot of concessions as far as charges, as much as can be done, but a little bit more would be just that much better.
Thank you.
One thing, though, every deal is a new deal. Is there ever any surplus revenue after the event? Because perhaps we could look into taking, just charging a barge.
Or the rental of a barge, which is about $2,000. So they've allowed us that portion of the expense for at least 5 years. We found that rental is still the most economic way for us to get that.
Don't we have some local barges here now, though? You look to...
Possibly. There haven't been the past 2 years. We've had to pay.
Had to bring them up from Avila or wherever?
We had to bring them up from further south than that.
Ventura or something.
Yeah, they have to get trucked up and then put in the water here. Prior to that, there was always a barge around, but that has since been relocated.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I went to the laser show, and I personally don't want to see that happen again. I think that we should definitely sponsor, and without the service fees, this would be my recommendation. Putting that out there.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to close public comment. And now we're going to be discussing our what we want to do for recommendation. So John, or Mr. Bates, has expressed his interest in supporting the city to sponsor this program. I would also put that forward myself. What about you, Tom?
Definitely.
Okay, great. Anybody else over here? Drew, Al?
I'm totally supportive.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I support it, too. Just have to be, you know, good stewards of the public's money on this.
Okay.
So we're looking at $4,000 or so. More
it
or
was
less.
About $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's, you know, it's give and take, okay. Right? I mean, they're giving to our city a huge amount, and so the least we could do, in my opinion, is give back. Okay, so can I get a motion to, let's see, the formal wording would be.
I'll make a motion to give the council that we
recommend
co-sponsor.
Not co-sponsor, sponsor.
Oh, sponsor.
You are definitely redoing the co-sponsorship.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Let me finish, please. Co-sponsor and waive the permit fees and service fees.
Okay, can I get a second?
I'll second that motion.
And all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Okay, thank you for coming out. Okay, the last thing on our agenda is our annual elections.
No, I have to refer you back to B2.
Okay, Mr. Woods says we need to go back to B2. Wow, it's already end of the night here. We still have B2, which is our initial review of a proposed city sponsorship policy. Mr. Woods.
Good evening, Chair and Commission. This item is an initial review of the proposed City of Morro Bay Recreation Parks sponsorship policy. Currently, and you just went through part of the process of co-sponsorship, and there's one element of a sponsorship policy. There are several tiers, as you can refer to in this FAP report, that includes the full policy itself. So currently, that's what you have, is basically a single co-sponsorship partnership, if you will. So there are partnerships. And within our broad range of partnerships, there is a co-sponsorship. There is no fiscal impact on tonight's decision or recommendations getting a policy. I want to make sure that you understand that going into a policy and making recommendations for council's review and approval of a policy is just that, and there would not be, I would anticipate, an overnight transformation of the town to be co-sponsored everywhere. So I couldn't see that happening. But as we look for additional revenue resources, as we look to partner up with private and public-private partnerships, also known as P3s, as we look into sponsors, whether it's a sizable sponsor that's going to be looking for their name or their marketing effort to perpetuate in a particular venue or a program, we want to have a policy in place. We do accept donations. Those are kind of like the one-and-dones. There's a donation for a particular cause, program, or a facility, if you will, and then that donor is dropping the money, and then they're kind of backing away and letting you do what you want with it. This policy addresses that. This policy addresses the co-sponsorship of a program. This policy addresses co-sponsorships of a facility or of a park produced based on our policies. And it makes things run more efficiently and definitely more smoother. And there's some planned expectations on both parties. that will help us perpetuate into some additional revenue streams that I think that are out there. So I'm hoping that as we go through this policy, and we can look at addressing our partnership policy in various meetings in the future. But I felt like the sponsorship policy itself would be very relevant to what we're doing, since we just did a sponsorship policy, a co-sponsorship event, and to go into this and put the tracks down ready for the sponsorship trains to show up to town. And I think that they're out there. I just went through a workshop, and the commissioners did too, on partnership and park naming. And when the city of Bakersfield has partnered up with some very large corporations with expectations and obligations in those agreements, significant revenues that came in for park development. One in the State Farm Park that sponsored $1 million. That would be $100,000 every year for 10 years. And that money was split up for marketing. It was split up for development and as well as operationals. And then they had some subgroups that they had, and there were some program sponsors that were part of different elements within the park. So once you had those the guidelines for a sponsorship down, then various vehicles can traverse that policy and benefit them as a company trying to market and reach particular target audiences, as well as the city, who's looking for additional revenues to support a program or a facility, or, as mentioned with this program, an indirect economic impact to increase your occupancies in your hotels and increase sales tax and revenues for hotels or restaurants and other folks in the service industry. So I believe that as we expand and develop revenue-generating possibilities, it is very apparent that sponsorship will be a big role in that growth. And having clear expectations in a sponsorship policy is definitely beneficial, efficient, and will definitely help sponsor or foster community relations. And that has certainly been some of the direction we've been hearing from council, is to reach out to the community and partner up with them. And there are partnerships and there are sponsorships. And so we want to make sure that we describe and discuss those with you, and so you have an understanding on how this policy is. And so I would like at this time, if the chair would allow me to continue into the sponsorship policy, or I'd be happy to take a break and answer any questions at this point.
Is there any questions at this point from our board? Okay. Mr. Woods, take it away.
Right. I don't want to belabor the policy in great detail, but I think that it definitely warrants some review on your part to make a recommendation. There are certain sections of this that you'll want to jump into and say, hey, we want to amend that. And there's other ones that are fairly boilerplate and that are just make good sense as far as the sponsorship policy. I'm going to refer to the pages just so we can get through this thing efficiently. So on page one, you do have an introduction to a policy describing that we would be considering guidelines, and hopefully these could be adopted citywide, but right now we are certainly gearing our policy for our Recreation and Parks Department programs. I had talked about a partnership for facilities and programs, and those are definitely two different tiers. Sponsorships are one type of partnership, one avenue to procure for procurement of alternate funding resources, and the city is certainly looking to expand their revenue-generating possibilities and opportunities. Sponsorships are key to that, and they are key, and if they operate, they should be operating underneath the policy so everyone's on the same page. There are guidelines, and this explains what the policy will have as far as the structure. There is an A, B, and C. There is a policy as A. Part B will be the levels of sponsorships, tiers, and benefits. And there are some sponsorship to a program or a facility that would be geared towards their target audience, thus perpetuating their particular service or product into something that we've already organized. We have an example would be our Rock to Peer Run. Sponsors, companies out there that are looking to sponsor their product, market their product or service to runners, active community people, we had that venue. We had that program. And so with the policy, we'll be able to go out there and give them structure. You're spending so many dollars on the TV pushing your product. You could use that money or half of that money, whatever the percentage is, and sponsor our event and send it directly to a target audience. If we lay out our policy and say these are the obligations that we have on both ends, you would support us in so many dollars, and we would support you as far as putting up advertisement, including you in our literature and our marketing of our program, then we have a win-win situation. And sponsorships are geared towards a win-win. Actually, it's a multiple win. I like to call it a whirlwind, where everybody benefits, not only the city but and the company that we sponsorship, but also the participants in the community. So that's outlined on page 3. On page 4, there are accepting guidelines for sponsorships. We've included our mission statement because obviously we would want to have some review on sponsors and who comes in and whether they fit our mission statement of our department, our mission statement as a city, and that we would be a good fit. We would want to have something that would be so controversial that the community would be an adversarial voice that would hinder our relationship with a particular sponsor. So we want to make sure we match up with our mission statement and our goals and objectives. There are criteria in which, like I said, we would go into. That's on page 4 in the bottom part, section 3. The following questions, and these are some of the questions that we would want to ask. Is the sponsorship reasonably related to the purpose of the facility of the programs as exemplified in our mission statement and our goals of the department and the city? What kind of real costs, including staff time, are for procuring the amount of cash or in-kind services come from the generation of a sponsorship? So we really try to look at all aspects of the sponsorship. The hidden cost, oh, it's great that someone donated this, but it's going to cost us more to maintain it than it is if we didn't have it. And so we have to weigh out the benefits and the cost factors. Things that we shall not consider, and this is something that you might want to say and add to it or not, promote environmental work or other practices that if they took place in the city would violate U.S. law. So obviously we would want to have that in our policy. Exploiting children of our community, promoting drugs or alcohol or tobacco, any other violations of law, we would consider not sponsor worthy. Anything that would duplicate or mimic our programs that we offer now. And we have some of that coming up that staff's addressed, some programs that we certainly could be offering, and we'd be looking to look how we can handle that a little bit differently. So we want to make sure that someone's coming in here and they're getting access to our community, our programs seem to be closer knit with the community, and we can be more responsive as a public agency. Anything that would exploit participants or staff members, and then it offers a benefit which may violate our Muni code. So those are pretty standard. There are levels, and this is where I'd like to see some input from the commission on sponsorship plan and approval levels. If the sponsor is giving under $1,000, would it be a department head approval, or would we want more? If the donation is between $1,001 and $10,000, would it still be at a department head level, or would we want to include the city manager in that decision of accepting that sponsorship? Maybe it's a multiple-year sponsorship. That is a threshold in which you say the department head can handle up to $10,000 or up to the next level here, $25,000. If it's a multiple year, then it needs to go to the city manager. This example here that I have on page 5 is $10,000 to $25,000 sponsorship. It needs approval by the department head and the department head team, the executive management team, which is all the kind of chew on. That's one of them, I believe, that you'd want to have a hard look at. We have a section for no non-commercial formula forum is permitted, and that is basically self-explanatory as you get through it. And then it's so much that there's actually 5 points that give you the reasons why that is in there. So there's a reason why Section C exists, and it's broken down in Section C and why the first half is there. And I can go over that if I'm getting a nod from the chair, or if you want me to just to wrap up and let you start discussing some of this. The last little section on Part A is additional guidelines for implementation. And as you review that and have some questions, if you have on your notes, I'd be happy to answer some questions. Part B is levels of sponsorship and tiers. In breaking it down, there really is a hierarchy of sponsorships levels, and the highest level being Recreation and Parks Department, citywide, department-wide sponsor. Hey, we're going to give you X amount of resources or money for your department to work your programs, or work adult programs, or youth programs, or the both. So that's a department-wide. There is a facility and park title or primary sponsor, and basically you have that now in your park naming policy, that if someone was to give a significant amount of money to or land to a particular facility or park, there could be a naming right to that. And just recently we had that in our dog park where we had a sizable donation by the Giannini family, and that is called the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park. That's the official name of the off-leash dog park at Del Mar. So your park naming policy is in place, but realize that is a sponsorship that we would want to include in our policy. Even though we have it, we could actually incorporate our naming policy within this. There's an event and program title and primary sponsor, and you see that in if someone's to come in and say, we're going to sponsor this event 100%, what's it going to cost to put it on, write us a check, we certainly will put their name on the top, provided it met all the criteria in our sponsorship. And then quickly, a presenting sponsor, a facility and park sponsor, there's a program and event sponsor. So these are lower obligations, if you will, in an agreement. There's a media sponsor, an official sponsor, and then on the bottom of this you see co-sponsor. And right now, as we look at a co-sponsorship agreement or a waiver of fees, and we're looking into a co-sponsorship, and there is some indirect economic impact that we've identified, but there isn't a huge, hey, we're going to give you this set amount of money for this program, you're going to do it. It's like that, but this is their own nonprofit group, and they've got volunteers, and so it's a different relationship. And ours right now is down here at the co-sponsorship, as we're just waiving fees. I mean, there could be a whole lot more, and saying they're going to give us X amount of dough, and we're going to put on this event. So there's different. So I just wanted to draw that line and show you that hierarchy of sponsorships. And then the last portion of this is Part C, which is the glossary of terms. So that is kind of, in a summary, what the co-sponsorship policy initial draft looks like as you look at it for the first time. The last I had added on here, the request for consideration for the co-sponsorship application, which is probably something that we would want to amend, incorporate, or change or add to our policy as we get into a little bit more dynamic sponsorship policy as well as a partnership. So that concludes the presentation of the policy that's presented. I'd be happy to answer some questions and dialogue.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Woods. I think you put together an excellent policy. What are you looking for from us?
Well, to bring this policy forward and really and to make the policy a policy, we need to have council endorse it. So I would be looking for any amendment, changes, or edits from the commission, and a recommendation either to bring it back to you,
Aquatic Center, or are they going to get involved in it?
That's a great question, Commissioner Coxwell. Very, very good question. I think that there is some expectation that a sponsorship of that magnitude would have a council's review and approval, and we've seen that in our park naming policy. So I think that yes, it would be when you're talking about the Speedo Aquatic Center. I mean, it's a good example. It's just totally an example. We haven't been approached, or we're not endorsing anyone. But do we make that decision on a staff level? Is that going to be a sizable contribution? Is it enough to warrant a name on a facility of that size, of the Estero Bay Aquatics and Estero Bay Community Pool? Is it $1 million? Is it $2 million? Is it $100,000 for 5 years and then a renewal clause? So I think that we would want to bring that forward to City Council as far as naming. And as far as your tiers go, as you see, is sponsorship plan and approval limits. Section B is, do we want to look at that, anything over 25 or anything that has a large facility, you know, is that, shouldn't that include our park naming policy, which goes to City Council for approval? So I would say yes, it's a naming policy, and the policy you have now goes to City Council for their approval. Whether they're going to do that or not, that's up to council, this particular council's decision. I think the time is right to present them with a policy that says this is a way for us to continue growth, continue dealing with infrastructure, continue dealing with facilities and community needs, such as the community pool, such as a BMX bike track. Yeah, there certainly is, I believe, opportunities. And the businesses that are in town have been extremely supportive of everyone who's knocked on their door for a basket of donations, whether it's a gift certificate or merchandise. They've always been willing. Mm-hmm. And it is just, I mean, you can't say enough about this community and what we've received and been part of. It's been spaghetti dinner tomorrow. We've got a host of merchandise. I mean, everyone we knocked on the door, they're just giving and giving and giving. But this is, we're talking about a community pool. That's another level. And we're talking, you know, capital. We're talking about the teen center. That's $2 million plus project to get that built. Do we look for sponsorships? Do we look for agreements and partnerships within the community and just outside? You may have, you know, when I take State Farm, because we've just came back from a conference with the director for Bakersfield, and that group was instrumental in getting a sponsorship from State Farm.
Granted, that is a huge city, though, compared to us.
It is. are we looking to develop a 48-acre sports complex? No, we're not. We're certain we can size that down. But the policy and the concepts are still there. And you still have to be, we can't keep expecting the small business owner in Morro Bay to go to that level of sponsorship. Some out there may be able to do that. But I think that we need to be looking beyond right here and getting into a larger sponsorship. There is possibilities, and we're just trying to set some guidelines so we can weed through it. So when they come, we're ready for them. We say, do you match our mission statement? Are you a certain level? What do you expect out of this? And transfer those marketing dollars. Not that I want to steal the newspaper or the TV or the radio, but those are marketing dollars that certainly could be geared towards program or facility development. So it's a roundabout way of asking your question, but I think that our park naming policy is in place that we want to incorporate.
Any other thoughts or concerns, commissioners? Okay, I don't think we have any edits for your policy.
Okay, so before you make a motion with a recommendation for this policy, did I understand? If there's no other discussion, staff would be looking for a recommendation from the commission for me to bring this forward to councils for their review and consideration and incorporate our existing park naming policy as part of their sponsorship policy.
Okay, can I get a motion, please?
I will move that you include the existing park naming policy in this, and that we recommend that the staff present it to the council as presented to us.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, great. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None. Okay, moving to our last piece of business tonight is our annual election of chair and vice chair for 2013. So I'm going to open the floor right now to nominations, at which time any commissioner may make a nomination for the office of chair. Now I'll just go ahead and say that I would like not to be chair again, although I appreciate and love the experience for the year. I'm ready to move on and step down. So I am taking myself off the nomination block. So having said that, could I get some nominations for the office of chair?
I would like to nominate John Bates for the chairperson.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, any other nominations before we go and okay. All right, good. So then
I'd like to nominate Drew Sedaris for vice chair.
Did we close nominations?
Let's finish with chair. So
she got a little procedure. She's got to follow now.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
I read chair.
Thank
and Commissioner Bates. I thought we could all do it one time.
Okay, so I'm going to call for a vote to elect Mr. John Bates as chair of our commission. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Congratulations, Mr. John Bates.
Thank you.
Was that a 5-0 or
yes.
a 4-1?
Yes.
Okay, make sure John got his vote in.
Okay, now I'd like to open up the floor for nominations for vice chair for 2013.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Drew Sedaris for vice chair.
Any other nominations?
I'd second that nomination.
Okay.
Okay, can I get a motion to elect
second the motion.
Mr. Duceris.
You had a motion, and then you had a second. Are you closing nominations?
Closing nominations for vice chair, and I'm making, or can I get a motion to elect Drew Sedaris for vice chair, please?
I'll make a motion to elect Drew Sedaris for vice chair.
And second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Those opposed? None. Congratulations, Drew. You are a new vice chair. I believe our business is over. Done?
D2. D1 is concluded. D2 will be your last agenda item.
D3 is done, right?
D3 we've completed.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, our last piece of business is electing our senior representative for 2013. So I'd like to open the floor for nominations, at which time any commissioner may make a nomination for the representative to senior citizens.
Incorporated.
I would like to nominate Tom. This is just senior, yeah. So, Mr. Wiz, would you like to explain what this job entails?
If he's finished having a senior moment, yes. Just by not knowing, you're nominated. The Senior Citizens Incorporated is a nonprofit organization who run our senior center, which is a portion of the Morro Bay Community Center. They have various activities and programs that they offer, as well as information dissemination throughout the senior center. They're obligated to provide 800 hours of volunteer work throughout the year. As a nonprofit group, they are able to use the community center, senior center, for revenue. So they basically have a pay station for utilities where they collect utility bills and they are paid a portion of the processing by that particular company. So they're able to generate some monies that way. They also have different fundraisers throughout the year and they have business.
I'll second that motion. Nomination.
Not interested? Are you interested or no?
Okay. you can have two nominations.
I know, I'm checking in.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so then I would like a motion to elect Al Romero for our senior representative.
I'll second that.
Oh, great. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Zero.
Okay. We're going 5-0 on that, Al.
5-0.
And we can certainly touch base.
Congratulations.
In the coming to help you out.
You know, I have a question.
Well, fine.
Since we're minus one.
Talk in your microphone.
Since we're minus one commissioner, is there any plans to replace that individual?
Oh, boy.
Yes, there is. I brought the item up to the administration, and they'll be presenting this to City Council in order to fill the position that we have. We have one person who's absent today. We certainly have one vacancy in which Council would need to consider.
Could I make a suggestion on that part?
An individual suggestion would not be
appropriate
at this time, that it is certainly an appointed position by City Council. So when that opens up, it is certainly noticed by their agenda, and then I would say that would be an appropriate time to bring any nominations forward at that time. But thank you.
Is it a female? Let's get another female on the board.
So if you've concluded, Madam Chair, all your new business, you are on item E at this time.
Thank you for pointing that out. We are at any future agenda items. Seeing as how there are none, I think we're all pretty taxed.
I'd like
it's
to make
about
a motion to adjourn
7:35.
I'll second
2-hour meeting. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for your
patience in our 2-hour meeting.
I'm a little hungry.
I am.